You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Moving to our right, wearing the home white. Rondo straddles the arc, inside feed, Cousins, jam, foul. If he makes the free throw, he'll have a 50-point ball game. Cousins has 49 points and 11 rebounds as he goes to the free throw line. Here's the free throw for 50. He's got it! DeMarcus Cousins in rarefied air, a career high, and a very short list of former Kings players who have scored as many as 50 in a ball game. Chris Webber, Kevin Martin, and now DeMarcus Cousins.
He's back. That's right. Boogie Fever. DeMarcus Cousins makes his first appearance back at Golden 1 Center. It will be truly an eventful night. National television audience, TNT, Chris Webber, Marv Albert on the call, and DeMarcus Cousins in his return to Sacramento. Should be a fun night. Welcome into Locked On Kings. Excited to tell you about all our new changes that we're having here on the Locked On Network. We're coming at you from a different outlet. We are moving from Audio Boom to Megaphone and Panoply, so different areas to find us, but keep finding us. Tell a friend we're out there, and I'll continue to adjust. We'll make it through this as we get through an exciting time here on the Locked On Network. Plenty to discuss today, including the Pelicans game. We're going to do that with Sean Kelly, the radio play-by-play voice of New Orleans. One note regarding that, looks like the Pelicans are going to make some news and sign Josh Smith, who has bounced around the league here a little bit as of late, but looks like they're going to add him as a little more depth to their overall roster. Anthony Davis a little banged up. Rondo has been out, and they need a little help with that lineup, so he could be signed. I don't know how much he will play between the Kings and the Pelicans, but look for that signing as well. One other thing I told you guys about in yesterday's podcast, I just kind of wanted to follow up, and it's a new app we've been hyping here. We're going to make every Wednesday on Draft, which is an app. You could do it at draft.com on your laptop, but also if you go to any app store, look up Draft. And so I set up a Locked On Kings League, and we played a game yesterday on the Wednesday night games. And it was just a small league. Just wanted to get it started. It only cost $1 to play. There were four people in it, so it was really small. And winner was going to win $3.60. So it's, you know, nobody's getting rich off at least of this league that I set up. But I wanted to follow up on it and just explain it a little bit in more detail, how it works. And we'll do this each and every Wednesday. I'll kind of hype it up because we're going to do it around the Locked On Network format. Everybody on our network is going to set up one and play against our listeners, you guys out there. But anyway, long story short, what it is, instead of a daily fantasy league, it's a daily draft. And I say daily, it's a one-time thing. So there are four of us in it. As soon as the fourth person got in, at least in this size league, the draft started. And it literally took probably less than 2 minutes to finish. You get two guards, two forwards, two centers. It's a snake draft. They selected an order 1 through 4, then it went 4 through 1, back and forth, right? So that's how it looked. This is how it played out. Out of four teams, yours truly, I'll tell you where I finished. I'll tell you the teams that went 4 through 1. Fourth place, Joel Embiid at center, Paul George, Kevin Love, Kemba Walker, Russell Westbrook. And it's just for the night that was Wednesday night. That's it. You draft them and they're not going to be on your team forever. That's all you do. And it's how they perform. That team finished fourth. Third place team had Lonzo Ball, Mike Conley, LeBron James, Karl Anthony Towns, and Rudy Gobert. Second place team had DeMar DeRozan, John Wall, Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, and Marc Gasol. And the winning team in our Locked On Kings four-person draft had James Harden, Steph Curry, LaMarcus Aldridge, Carmelo Anthony, and Nikola Jokic. I finished third. I was team three with Conley, Ball, LeBron, Karl Anthony Towns, and Rudy Gobert. Not enough. My best player was LeBron. Nobody else was really that strong. Gobert was actually my second best player, and I think he was my last, maybe my last pick. Or Lonzo Ball was my last pick. But anyway, it was fun. Cost me a buck. Had some fun. I'll tell you more about it in the coming days, but we'll get you guys playing on draft.com or get the app as well at Draft. All right. So there you go. All right. Let's get some perspective now on the visiting team. The New Orleans Pelicans coming into Sacramento. Of course, it's going to be an emotional night for DeMarcus Cousins, for Kings fans as well, as DeMarcus makes his first return as a former player. And joining us to talk about that and the New Orleans Pelicans is their radio play-by-play voice, Sean Kelly. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's great to be back, and it's good to be in Sacramento, almost a year to the day from one of the craziest meetings between these two teams. It was election night, if you remember, a year ago. And Buddy Hield, who's now with you guys, I think swiped and popped Cousins in the nether region in that game. And so here I was just reflecting on that as we came into town last night.
You know, we were just talking about that game, not even the New Orleans game per se, but the election night game. And I forgot that was this night. And I remember looking around Golden 1 Center and I said, nobody's watching the game. Everybody was looking at their phone. There was kind of a haze in the crowd. Like, people just were, I think, shocked with just everything that was going on. Maybe on the floor, in the world. It was a weird night that night.
It really was. I was kind of surprised that the NBA had scheduled games. I guess you only have so many days a year where you can do it. But as it turned out, it was election night and a historic one at that. And here it was, our first visit in your new building and everything else. It all started even, Jason, when we got to the arena that night, because here on the West Coast, there were many returns already coming in. So
sure.
You were talking about fans in the stands kind of being rightfully distracted. It was the same way, I think, in the visiting locker room. TVs normally are on a tape of your opponent's previous game or other action around the league. And really all the attention was on the election that night.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, it really is. And it was a memorable night, certainly in a lot of ways. You guys come in now as much like the Kings, looking to get something going. And I guess first and foremost, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but how about Anthony Davis? Such a key to what you guys do. A little banged up in Portland. What's the outlook for him short term, maybe for the Kings game and even going forward?
Well, the first thing I look for, just like you guys, is does Anthony Davis come out and try and warm up? That answer may come, a couple hours before the game. Or he may come out and go through his warm-up, and then they'll make a decision on how the knee looks. So it could be as late as 10 minutes before tip that we know his status. I truly think he is, rather cliche, I know, he is a game-time decision tomorrow night.
Does he have bad luck? Is he injury-prone? I mean, you're there day to day. It seems, from afar that, man, he got hurt again. And none of these have been real long-term things, but a lot of little ones. Is it just rotten luck for him?
It's hard to say because, the first several years in his career, I may be off by a couple here, but I think he missed 75 games before the start of last year. And then last year, he played in 75 games, which is a remarkable number for anyone, I think, in the current state of things for NBA and its players. But then if you dig a little bit deeper, there were 13 times last year when he left the game and went to the locker room with this, that, or the other. Now, several times he came back out and was able to finish the game, and others he didn't. So he's kind of a hard read because you can argue both sides of this, that he is injury prone when you look at the sheer numbers, but at the same time, he has toughed out a few things, and last year was his most durable year yet, except for that little asterisk I just threw in there about how many times he went to the locker room during a game. So sometimes it can be like a Tyreek Evans thing, as another guy I kind of had first-hand experience with, that one of the greatest healers I've ever been around. I used to call Tyreek Evans Wolverine, and you guys know all about him here as well. And he could play hurt or he'd get hurt and seemingly come back faster than the timetable that projected his return. So I'm hoping, I'm hoping obviously for fans here and obviously for the Pelicans that they get to see Anthony Davis play.
It's still, I guess, in its infancy, really, Cousins and Davis together, the end of last season, the very early part of this season. I think a lot of people wanted to see 82 games of those two guys together to get a real gauge. It's a different look that the NBA has now. If all goes right, what do you think that looks like, Sean? I mean, just over months together, what can Cousins and Davis do amongst the Western Conference?
I think that those two guys can really take this notion of positionless basketball to the next level, next thing, because it's real easy to look at those two guys and their size and their skill set close to the basket and say, yes, the Pelicans are kind of turning back the clock or, retrofitting or bucking the trend by having these two bigs. But truly the way that Chris Finch and Alvin Gentry are doing this right now is that they're not doing it the old fashioned way of having a twin towers type setup. You'll see Davis and Cousins at basically any spot on the floor. And the whole thing is a read and react deal that not only sees Cousins and Davis rightfully get the most touches in a, on a given night, but they as well will have license to shoot it from wherever they like if need be. And other players are playing off of them from different, not only sides, but I guess distances on the floor. So if this works, okay, if this works, and that's what obviously New Orleans is hoping it does, is that it kind of redefines, you know, what size means in the NBA. And more maybe than it's just, okay, it's more about matching skill sets as opposed to, okay, we're going to have all of our big guys down low and the smaller guys outside and off we go. So that's kind of the experiment here. And I don't mean to make this out to be like it's some revolutionary thing. I just think that it is something that is unique to these two players who in themselves are very unique to what we've seen in the last 25, 30 years.
Now, I've heard a knock on New Orleans maybe that they don't have enough shooting, but are those two, particularly Davis and Cousins, are they the best shooters on the team?
Arguably, yeah they are. You know, I think Ian Clark would have something to say about that, and he's had a nice start to the season. But I don't think it's a knock against New Orleans. I think it's real. I think that they do need to have better shooting from the outside. I still think that this team is in need of a decent three. I use a number here after I just told you about positionless basketball, but they need a wing who can really knock down shots, and they don't have it right now. And those guys just don't, you know, walk the streets. You can just go get one. But that, I think, is the piece that would take them into a conversation amongst the top four or five in the West. So they're outside of that conversation now with their current roster makeup. We're getting word that Josh Smith is joining the team tomorrow. I don't think that's the answer. It may help. And it's hard to evaluate all of this, really, Jason, until Rajon Rondo returns in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you mentioned Rondo. I want to get to Cuz, too, in a minute, but just the new faces. You brought up Clark. Rondo's not there just yet. I mean, he's there, but he's still out. Tony Allen, how have some of the new Pelicans have fit in so far?
Awkwardly at times, and at times it seemed okay. Jameer Nelson comes in the other night, literally hours off the airplane, and makes a difference in helping New Orleans get their one win that they've had this year so far. Tony Allen, I think, is lending his voice and his experience to this team, but physically he's not what he used to be. So it's not as impactful in a play-to-play situation. The Rondo thing is the most intriguing. I got a little taste of watching it in the preseason. Certainly, we all know how good Rondo's year was when he was at the Kings and playing with Cousins and vice versa. Cousins, I think, statistically had his best year as well here in Sacramento when playing with Rondo. So I'd like to see that translate, and especially now that you're trying to space two guys in Davis and Cousins that can be so dynamic, you need a Rondo who can really manage that floor. And I think that's what I'm excited to see. I hope, because of the strength of schedule and everything else, that it's not too big of a hole to climb out of as it has been the last 2 years when Rondo returns, and then we can see if they can make a push.
Is there a timetable for that? When do you guys think Rondo will be back?
I think, you know, traditionally that sports hernia surgery or that core muscle surgery can take 6 to 8 weeks. I think that I'm a little surprised at some of the things that Rondo is doing already with regard to shooting the basketball and wanting to be on the floor and pass it and drills and all that. I did talk to him two days ago, I guess it was. He says, I'm not allowed to run yet, but I am a little bit ahead of schedule. So with that being said, I think that it's not unrealistic to think that mid-November might be the time that Rondo's able to return. And then obviously you've got to make sure that he's back in shape again.
All right, so now, Sean, I want to ask you about Cuz. I mean, he was the big piece of the trade that you guys acquired. He's an incredible talent. How has he been overall, just what you've seen? Did you expect this, more or less? I mean, what have you kind of thought in your I don't know, 30 or so games that you've seen DeMarcus Cousins?
Just like when he was here, and I would see him as the visitor, I do see at times some misplaced passion. And if DeMarcus was sitting in the room with me right now, he would probably shoot me a dirty look, and rightfully so. Anytime somebody says something like that, but I think that he would also agree. And I think that he is getting better and maturing with that sense. But I've been around few guys that want to win more than DeMarcus Cousins does. And I think that when he certainly got over the initial shock of the trade and and making the move and everything else. All of a sudden, whether it be having an offseason with a familiar coach and then, you know, getting very close with Anthony Davis in the offseason, I think DeMarcus really likes consistency. And no knock against anything that's been going on here in Sacramento, but I think it was probably a pretty inconsistent stretch that DeMarcus and the other Kings have had to endure here. And so I think with consistency, DeMarcus will develop even further. As far as his play on the floor, it's scary. It's freakishly fun to watch. It's amazing when you get to watch him on a day-to-day basis. And he might be placing himself, if it isn't already, into that what I call the class of unguardables in the NBA. I think there are certain players that you have to foul and you hope that you get away with it more often than not, or you've got to expend more resources than normal in order to stop a guy like him. That's how good it is, and that should be celebrated. And I think that New Orleans fans will, if they get the chance to see him thrive with Anthony Davis, and they can both stay healthy and build that consistency.
Do you think that's a consistency that will stay there? I mean, he's in an important season for him in the final year of a deal. That was a decision the Kings had to make. New Orleans will now have a decision on that at some point. I know it's very early in the stage of him as a Pelican. What's the likelihood that you think he sticks around past this season?
I think that's what he wants. It's not because he has some great love of New Orleans that's developed over a small period of time. But I think that, again, back to what I had said about, you know, I think he wants some stability. If he can create it by just staying put, I think he will. I think that he also plays a big part in his destiny here in that, you know, certainly Cousins' play and how it correlates to New Orleans' success will determine what New Orleans' decision is, the Pelicans' decision in all this is. So it's not just a contract year where a guy's trying to play well because he wants to get a nice number at the end. I think this is also a year where if he plays well and the Pelicans go well, then everybody feels really good about signing that deal in the summer. If it doesn't for some reason, then he's back in an unstable position again, which I don't think he wants to be in. And the Pelicans are in a position where they've got to just not only make a decision about DeMarcus, but a whole lot of other decisions that could send the franchise into a period of real rebuilding as opposed to trying to add pieces and keep stacking blocks. So we'll see how this plays out. It is fun and I guess nerve-wracking at times to have this part of the conversation because it is so early, but yet you want to kind of project and see what it's going to look like. But, you know, it's four games in. Let's talk All-Star break and see how things are going.
Sure. And you, the way you described DeMarcus earlier, Sean, I thought was perfect. I mean, there isn't a more passionate player. That energy can be great. Sometimes it can work against him. So we know it's going to be an emotional night. It just lends itself to it. Guys get traded. That first game back is always emotional for him. So you fit in the emotional player in an emotional night. How do you think DeMarcus is going to feel when he's, one, announced, walks into that building, has that critical moment? How do you think he handles all that?
I think some of it will have to do with what the crowd does. And I think that DeMarcus is being very honest in saying that he does not know what the reaction will be. I would like to think that when he's introduced, it is a very warm reception and people remember all the things that he's done in this community. And then I would hope, as good Kings fans do, that now he plays for somebody else, and in the heat of the game, to feel free to let him have it. So, you know, I would hope that what happens tomorrow night at the Golden 1 Center is that it is a spirited game that has that feeling. Just, I don't want to see, and you guys have seen it when he would go to other arenas in a Kings uniform, and that there's some real blatant baiting of DeMarcus Cousins.
Sure.
And I'm not so sure I would do a good job of dealing with it. You know, he does sometimes, he doesn't other times. I'd rather it not happen here tomorrow night. It could very well happen. It's just a part of, you know, what it is. I do know this, just like most guys, when they go back to play a team that's traded them or whatever, they'd like to put on a good show. They'd like you to remember how good he is. And he would rather walk out as a winner than a loser. And so I fully expect he will get after it. And as I talked with David Wesley earlier, about this game and what it means for DeMarcus and how it may play out. I think that David, who played in the NBA and obviously went up against old teams, he says, look, this could be something where it is off the charts crazy good, or it could be disastrously bad. Mm-hmm. Because he will try and do a lot. And sometimes when you try and do a lot, it goes well, and sometimes it could be 1 for 10, you know, yeah. Or he fouls out, or it's two technicals, or whatever. So, look, you don't get too many great ones early in the season. I think this is a great one with regards to intrigue and storylines and everything else. And so I hope that everybody has fun with it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I guess it'd be storyline maybe 10 amongst the game between the Kings and Pelicans. But I guess it's Buddy Hield's return for the team that traded him. I don't know if there's the same. I know there's not the same kind of emotional part. But what did you think of Buddy in the 50-plus games you guys had Buddy Hield?
I don't think we got to see enough, to tell you the truth. And I think that probably some expectations were lumped on Buddy that were unfair early on. I do think that he has got a lot of talent. I think that in talking with friends of mine who were with him at the University of Oklahoma, that, you know, I got a good sense of what kind of a person he is and how hard he works. And sometimes I thought with New Orleans, because he was trying to live up to expectations, I think he worked himself almost into a bad spot at times. And I also don't think that the Pelicans were in a position to be patient because of what they needed. And certainly fans, obviously, when you look at, and this happens all the time, where guys are slotted draft wise.
Sure.
We're looking at a guy that, you know, okay, well, shoot, yeah, look at it. He should be throwing up 15, 16 tonight, you know, just showing up. I don't think that's the case. And I know that, I think that we're starting to see Buddy, you know, take some new steps and learn the game more. And so I'm hoping for the best for him. And I know, just again, because after being around him a little bit last year, it's, look, as you mentioned, Jason, it's not on the same level as Cousins, but I know that Buddy Hield would love to remind the Pelicans of the promise that he was and the player that he is becoming.
Yeah, I think for a game that's 2-1-3 teams, it's game 5, there's kind of a lot going on. I think this is going to make it a lot of fun. Sean, we appreciate you joining us. Certainly hope you have a good call with this game. It's going to be a fun night, and again, we appreciate you joining us.
I hope you don't mind me being so, I guess, loquacious about it, because I am a little amped up. So thanks for putting up with me tonight, and we'll look forward to the game.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, my thanks to Sean Kelly, the fine radio play-by-play voice of the New Orleans Pelicans. As he said, it will be an emotional night. It'll be a fun night. We'll recap it all tomorrow on another edition of Locked On Kings. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. And back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.